Hello and welcome back to Footnotes. I'm Jacinda and I'm a fourth year student at the University of Sydney.
And I'm Tamsin and I'm a third year arts law student. And today we're going to be bringing you an episode that's sponsored by White & Case about their clerkship and grad programs. But before we do that, we would like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which we meet today, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and pay our respects to elders past and present. Sovereignty was never ceded.
Today we have the absolute pleasure of talking to Brew and Amelia, two of USID's own alumni who are now currently doing a grad program at White & Case. We're going to talk to them about all things clerkships and grad roles and also talk to them about a little bit of the advice they can offer to any students who may be considering going into corporate law or doing a clerkship. So without further ado, here is the interview.
Thank you for listening to Footnotes in collaboration with White & Case. We are lucky enough to be speaking with Brew and Amelia right now, two grads who are currently on their second rotation. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
No worries. So we'll throw it over to them just so they can introduce themselves a little bit. Let's throw to Brew first.
Sure. Thank you. I'm Brew. I've been at White & Case for about 9 months. Amelia and I both have. So I'm in my second rotation. I did one rotation in litigation and now I'm rotating through tax. But before law, I did a lot of other things. I was a high school English teacher in the US for 3 years and moved to Sydney to help care for my grandparents. And while I was here, started law school. So I've had bit of a life before law. I did the JD. So for anyone listening who's in the JD, who's done other things, you're not the only one to kind of make a change or make a career shift. I have to. I'll hand over to my very good friend, Amelia.
Yep. So I'm Amelia. I also started this year as a grad at White & Case. So first rotation was debt finance. And now I'm in my second rotation on an international secondment in Singapore. And the team I'm in is corporate M&A. So like Brew, I was also at USID, but I did the LLB. I had the more like traditional Sydney path of, you know, you finish high school, you get your marks and you just sort of go for it, you go into law school. But yeah, excited to be on here and I guess talk to everyone about clerkships and all that.
Yes, thank you. So we're going to start from basically the absolute basics to anyone who doesn't know what clerkships are. Can you guys explain, well, what is a clerkship and why should students consider doing one?
Sure. So I had no idea, we were saying before this, we were chatting, I had no idea really what a clerkship was when I started law school. But the quick version of it is a clerkship is sort of a preview of what a grad role might be at a firm. So most big firms in Sydney will do 8 to 12 week clerkships over the summer. White & Case does things a little differently. We do a 4-week clerkship in the winter. Sometimes we offer one in the summer as well. That's newer. So it's a shorter clerkship. And what that is it just gives you an introduction to the firm. So you come to the firm, you work for 4 weeks, you get a taste of what it might be like to come back as a grad. And it's a really kind of great opportunity for the firm to see if you're a good fit for them, but also for you to see, are you a good fit for the firm or are you a good fit for commercial law? Amelia, have I missed anything? Would you add something?
Just think of it like as an internship. Like Brew mentioned, most firms will do that summer clerkship where it's a much longer time and you get to see day-to-day what lawyers do in a corporate law firm. And I think it's also just a way to also start, you know, meeting new people, building your network and thinking a bit more about your future careers more generally. You don't even have to actually want to be in corporate law to apply and get the most out of it. So definitely a good way to start your legal career and just get a bit more insight.
And you mentioned that it's sort of like a snapshot of what goes on in the firm's day-to-day practice. What are your roles as clerks? What do you guys focus on? What does your day as a clerk look like?
Yeah, so I think each firm will do it a little bit differently, how they structure it. But I think from what I can tell, most of the time you get like a week of induction. So especially if you're someone who has never worked in a office or a corporate setting before, that's a good way to just get some like more basic technical skills down. You get a bit of an introduction to the firm itself, their culture and what they sort of stand for, their values. And then once you hit your desk and actually start working, it is a bit team dependent what types of tasks they give you, but they really do try to mimic what a junior lawyer in the team would be doing. So I guess from my experience when I clerked at Wine and Case, I was in project finance, which is a transactional seat. So I did a lot of things like, I guess, understanding like the deal process, helping with signing, closing, maybe a little bit of drafting on documents that aren't too complex. And then at least Wine and Case and some of the other firms, they do give you side business development tasks, a bit of research tasks, things where you have to like collaborate with people. But yeah, what did you get up to, Brew?
I think Amelia's just given such a good overview. So I was in a disputes litigation seat, so a little bit different in terms of style of work, a lot more kind of things that you would have done in law school. So research memos, it feeds quite well from law school into disputes work. But I remember as well, Amelia and I worked together on a project, a pro bono project during our clerkships. I think there's a lot of opportunity, especially at the clerk and junior level, to get involved in pro bono work. Definitely at Wine and Case, we championed that from the very beginning. There's tons of opportunity to hop in from the start and do pro bono work, which we can give a few more examples later on. But yeah, there's plenty of opportunity to kind of give back to the community as well.
That sounds really good. I guess the important thing that a lot of our younger students would want to know is, how was the application process and what exactly was it like?
Long. I think clerkship applications are a lot, and depending on who you are, maybe you're doing a couple of clerkship applications, maybe you're doing many. For me, when I started, I didn't think when I entered law school that I was at all interested in commercial law. And I saw that Wine and Case had a really short clerkship, so I thought, oh, I'll just try this so I can rule it out. So I didn't apply to many. I just applied to theirs. It was a winter clerkship. It came before the summer clerkships came up. So I was a year and a half into my JD with a year and a half to go, and I applied for the winter clerkship. And then loved it, and then applied for summer clerkships. Did a summer clerkship at a larger firm and decided to come back to Wine and Case. But I think as far as clerkship application process for Wine and Case and for most other firms, Amelia, interrupt me if I've missed something, but there was a paper application. So that was cover letter, CV, and I think a few application questions, a sort of short essay questions, just to get a little bit of a sense of who you are. After that stage, there was psychometric testing. So kind of online games, kind of picture it like a computer game, but a bit mathy, and just kind of testing proofreading skills. Some of them were like math skills, that kind of thing. Mostly testing like quickness and responsiveness, but don't be intimidated by it. It feels like a computer game. It doesn't feel like a test as much. And then after that, there was a video interview. Ours was interesting. It was like pre-recorded questions that flash on the computer screen that you answered into a webcam. And then after that, there were two in-person interviews, and those were great. They were very, very, very conversational, very personal, very relaxed. So that was the process for Wine and Case at the time that we applied. I do think that each application cycle, they sometimes tweak it or change it, so it's not always identical. And that was also a pretty similar process to the steps of the application for other firms that I applied to. But Amelia, have I missed anything or misordered anything? Was your experience different?
Yeah, no, I think you covered most of the main, I guess, rounds that might come up when you do the clerkship application. I think I might add in, some of the larger firms do have a practical task as well. So it could be something like drafting a quick memo or a short email to a partner, summarizing some issues or something like that. But generally, yes, it's that paper application first, some sort of video interview, maybe some testing, and then you get to the interview stage with partners or associates at the firm. Similar to Brew, I also didn't know what a clerkship was, so don't feel like you need to do a lot of prep or background to succeed or do well at it. I think for Wine and Case, it was a similar thing where I actually didn't really know much about the firm because it was a newer presence in the Australian market, but I saw, you know, it was an international firm and had really good opportunities, and I just went through it. I didn't even do any due diligence and ask people about how I should prepare. So hopefully that's sort of comforting for people.
Interestingly, Brew, you mentioned that, you know, you weren't really interested in commercial law and you saw that it was a short clerkship process. And Amelia, you mentioned that students shouldn't worry if they don't know if they want to do commercial law yet. A common feeling that I've noticed among first to third years is that they're quite anxious about the clerkship process because they don't feel like they want to go into commercial law. Having worked in it, you know, as a clerk and now as a grad, why do you think that students should consider it as a career path and something to experience before they leave law school?
Yeah, I'll jump in first. I think for me, I thought a bit more holistically about what I wanted to do with, you know, my career and life, I guess, when you're like a fresh uni student. And maybe I was being very idealistic, but the main things I wanted was somewhere with, you know, good training, just like good training and legal exposure. And then two, for me, the international component was the biggest part. And I do think in the end, these corporate law firms do kind of have those opportunities laid out for you. And I think as you go through law school and you meet people in older years and stuff, the path is a little bit clearer. So it is one way to just kind of get a big picture about what a career might be like for you in law. And then second, I guess, even if you didn't want to be in corporate law, just like building connections with people is really important. And for example, Brie was explaining her past careers, like they were so different and so interesting. You will find that even though it is a law firm, you will see people who've done so many amazing things over the years. And I think that's really valuable. Even if, you know, you do that 4 weeks and go, okay, I hate corporate law. I guarantee you at least, you know, have one conversation in those weeks that will be meaningful and really help you out. So
I think that's really well said. I don't have a lot more to add. I think when you're a law student, right, you have so many career trajectories ahead for you. It's almost hard to know, like, which path should I go down? What should I choose? And I think there's not one path. My two closest friends in law school, one of them knew from the beginning he did not want to do commercial law. He didn't want to be a judge's associate. He knew a lot of what he didn't want to do. He wasn't sure what he did want to do, but then he ended up finding a really great role at a paramedics union, and he's so happy. So he kind of went down that path, and my other closest friend from law school also went to a firm. So I think, as did I. So I think there's a lot of different routes. I think you know yourself, you know what works for you. I don't think any one trajectory is better than another. It is true, as Amelia said, I think in commercial law, the path is a little bit more clearly laid out for you. So I'm not the most self-directed person in the world. So I think having that external kind of structure made it easier for me to picture what I wanted kind of my legal future to look like. But as Amelia said, right, you can just go and do the clerkship. That doesn't mean that you're committed to taking on like a career in commercial law. You could just literally go and try it and see if you like it. And that's how I did it. I was like, I'll just try this. I don't think I'll like it. I'll rule it out. And then loved it. Really unexpectedly. I was like, okay, well, maybe I should come back here. So you never know. You might like it. You might hate it. That's also good. But I think it's worth trying at least.
Okay. I mean, assuming that, say, you do love it like you guys did and you fell in love with the clerkship. So how exactly does like a corporate law firm or White & Case specifically facilitate that sort of that transition after you finish uni, you know, go into the grad program, admission, things to do, like how a PLT? I don't know if either of you are admitted yet, because I think one of the questions was sort of, well, you're not admitted, so what work exactly can you do as a grad, and how does that change once you've been admitted? So sort of that transition after uni, can you guys speak a little bit more to that process?
You've caught us in a good week with that question, because Amelia and I are both getting admitted in a week. Amelia, are we getting admitted in a week or 2 weeks?
Yeah, next Friday. So
congratulations.
Very exciting. Thank you.
We're in a very good mood. It's very exciting. The firm gives a ton of support, in short, around PLT and around the transition from being a law student to going into legal work. As a grad, so before you're admitted, you're not really doing any legal work without supervision. You've got a lot of structure and support around you, a lot of mentorship, formal mentorship and kind of informal mentorship. So you're paired in each of your rotations at White & Case with a buddy that's somebody maybe just 1 or 2 years ahead of you, and then a mentor that's somebody a few years ahead of you in their career, and then a supervising partner. So you have three layers of support, and that's just formal support. And then there's obviously all the informal connections that you make where people kind of reach out to support you as well. And then as far as helping around PLT, so for those of you who don't know, many of you will know on the call, but after you finish law school, I didn't know this when I started law school. I thought when you finish law school, because at home in the States, when you finish law school, you study for the bar exam, you take the bar exam, then you're a lawyer. but that's not the case here. Didn't know
me
that.
Me too.
You finish law school and then you take PLT, practical legal training. It's an additional 3 to 6 month course, depending on if you do it full time or part time. And then you get work experience and then you can be qualified as a lawyer. So the firm covers the costs of PLT. You do it together with your cohort. So it's social. And yeah, they give you a lot of support in that transition. Did I miss anything, Amelia? Would you add anything there?
Yeah. So I think especially for Brew and I, it was really interesting to see going from a clerkship, having a bit of time at uni, finishing our degrees, and then coming back to work. Because we did our clerkships remotely. It was the year of COVID. So it was maybe a little bit harder to see ourselves coming back and actually like being in the office when we hadn't met a lot of people face to face. But the firm obviously like takes it into account and did a really good job of putting us in touch with the right people. And then they start the communication quite early before you start your grad role in February. And then one really good thing that White & Case did for us, I think, especially because we have a Sydney cohort and a Melbourne cohort, is that our induction was put together. So Sydney grads got flown down to Melbourne. You got to meet everyone together as a group and go through that induction together. They really like laid out all the things to consider as a grad as well. So all that PLT stuff Brew mentioned, how to like, you know, manage your time with that, what to expect, kind of setting out the milestones through the year, along with like rotations. They really lay it out for you as best as they can. So that really helps your transition as well. The admission part. Yeah, they also do take you through what steps you need to take, how to apply to the Law Society. Because that's another daunting part post clerkship. You know, there's a lot of administration and paperwork, but these bigger firms will definitely have seen it all before. So they'll help you out as much as they can.
That sounds amazing. And congrats again, guys, on getting admitted later in the week. That's so exciting. So you guys are both on your second rotation right now. And you mentioned that the work that you do as a grad is supervised and there's a lot of assistance. What work specifically have you done so far? You know, if you're not admitted, what work can you do?
I'll give one example. I'll just tell you what I've been working on today, just so that you kind of get a little overview. So today I'm working with, this is actually a project left over from when I was in the disputes team. I'm working with an amazing woman, Kate Pemerle, our disputes partner, and she's advising a client who worked on developing a building and the building has defects and now the contractor has to repair the works to the building is leaking. And so we're preparing a rectification works contract. So I'm working with her to draft that contract, prepare the annexures, get it into execution form so that the parties can sign. So that's something that I was working on her when I was in the disputes team, and that's carried over. And we're hoping to finish that out before the end of the year. So that's something that I was working on today. Another thing that I was working on today is we actually have clerks that have just started now with the firm, and I help coordinate White & Case's partnership with the Domestic Building Legal Service, which is a community legal service that provides homeowners who are self-representing in disputes with contractors who helped build their home but may have made errors, that kind of thing, help them self-represent. So we give off one-off advice once a week. Two lawyers will take the call, and one of our clerks wanted to get involved. So she hopped on one of those calls. She took notes during the call. She prepared the file note afterwards, all with support with a grad and a supervising partner, but she got to kind of hop right into pro bono work. So I was helping support her before she hopped on that call, talk her through the work, talk her through what she was going to be expected of her. So that's just a little preview into kind of like one day, I guess, of work. But the work is very, very varied. I would say each day is quite different, but that's just one example. And Amelia, you were telling me just before we got on this what you were working on. So yeah, really different.
Yeah, yeah. So I've done two transactional seats so far. So in my first seat, I find with transactional seats, you do get a lot of client-facing work pretty early on. So I found that I was sometimes playing a bit more of a project management role, but you'd be, you know, the one emailing clients directly, organizing certain timelines and documents and maintaining checklists and things like that. But in my first rotation, I did get a lot of exposure early on because it was a smaller, newer team. So it was just me, one senior, two partners. So in that rotation, I found I did get to learn quite a lot, which was really, really good. And obviously it was all supervised throughout. So you could always go to your mentors, your partners and ask any questions. We did a lot of, Wine & Case being an international firm, we did a lot of work supporting other offices. So oftentimes it'd be, let's say, a UK-led deal or a Hong Kong-led deal, and there'd be an Australian-specific debt piece that you'd have to do. So we'd be, you know, drafting those Australian law security documents. We'd be doing the registrations on the PPSR and these sort of, I guess, more mechanical things juniors do get involved with. And then the bigger picture, you try to keep up and learn as you go, I guess. But yes, the thing I was telling Brew about was also a debt finance related piece of work. I'm technically in the M&A team here in Singapore, but this client is also doing some debt work. So I was doing a very similar thing related to securities, but it was because the company is incorporated in the Cayman Islands, I had to kind of like learn how to do security registrations through Cayman law. So that was like another kind of interesting piece of work that I had some understanding of, but I had to kind of look up a whole new jurisdiction and see how that all works. So that's an example of some little things that I've done.
Wow. Okay. That's very varied. Like you guys have worked on some very different things.
Yeah.
So I guess we're going to talk more to you, Amelia, about your international experience since you're on an international rotation. How has that been? Like having to do it in Singapore, like the difference in the work, the culture, the lifestyle. Yeah, just talk us through it because I think we don't really get access to people who are doing overseas stuff in their clerkships.
Yeah, so I'd say it's definitely a really, really big opportunity you can get at White & Case. So all grads have a guaranteed overseas seat if they want to. You can also choose to say no. And it generally happens in either your second rotation or your final rotation. They have quite a few offices in the APAC region, but they also open up the Middle East to you. So for me, first choice was Singapore just because of one, my heritage and my cultural background is Chinese. So I wanted to pick a place where I could maybe work on my Mandarin. And I also liked the idea of working on sort of cross-border work in the Southeast Asia region, and Singapore sort of a hub for that. So yeah, love it here. It's a really amazing city. There's a lot of hustle and bustle. I think you get to come over with a few other trainees/grads usually. So I've made really good friends with some of the girls who are UK trainees, but also stronger friendships with the other grads who are here with me. And in terms of culture, it's not too different, which is really, really good. It's a whole scary thing, I think, to just plonk yourself in a new country and try to work well and feel really comfortable. But I think the firm really does a good job of like settling you in, again, putting you in contact with people in the office you're about to second to early on, so you can start getting a sense of what the work and what the city will be like. And in terms of the work itself, just because White & Case tries to be quite a connected network when it comes to work, it's not too hard or too different. Maybe it would be slightly different if you'd say went to like a Middle East office, just because there might be more language kind of barriers. But yeah, I've had a really good time, especially because Singapore is a bit more expat friendly. And yeah.
Amelia, obviously there are so many benefits to working overseas, but can you name a few of the main ones that you found right now that are going to benefit not only your career, but your personal growth as a grad coming into a new role?
Yeah, I think I would say firstly, like for me, language, that was a really big pull to come to Singapore. And I have had a chance to use it not only work-wise, but in day-to-day. Second, I think because I did debt finance in my first seat, and I didn't expect to do it again, but some work kind of filtered through. It was a good way to confirm the knowledge and the skills I'd built, but in a slightly different context. So some of the documents would be the same. They might be like a UK governed facility agreement or something, but the way you maybe describe the issues to a client could be slightly different. So I think your exposure to these sort of different parties, counterparties, just really builds your communication style, really builds like your knowledge when you have to just sort of think about the same task, but in a slightly different way. So that's something that I think I've found I've come across a few times. And I think the last benefit would be building a network with lawyers that aren't, you know, from Australia or based in Australia. So yeah, getting closer to these trainees who are from the UK, understanding kind of how they went through uni and their process to get qualified has been really interesting. In this office, there's a lot of other lawyers who are, you know, Singapore qualified, Indonesian qualified, US qualified, like such a broad spectrum of people. So that's just another really cool way to, you know, build your knowledge, but also, you know, it's really interesting to meet people like that in general.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Now I feel like I want to go on an international experience and I'm sad I don't get to. Brew, are you planning on doing one for your next rotation?
So this is, I think, what's amazing about Wanaka is probably one of the biggest pools. So some people in our cohort as well, like not only can you go overseas, but some people in our cohort, depending on availabilities and seats, can also go interstate. So one member of our cohort did one in Sydney, one in Melbourne, and he's going to go overseas next. That's not uncommon. For me, I am number one, very change resistant. I like hanging at home. I'm very much a homebody. I like being in my routine. So for me personally, I've decided not to do the overseas rotation. A big part of that decision as well is because I live with my grandparents and help care for them. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's best for me to stick at home. So I think that's what I really love about the firm is that if you want international experience, they are going to support you. They're going to make sure that that happens. Or interstate experience similarly, like if you'd like to go to Melbourne, if you're based in Sydney or the other way around, they can sometimes do that for you as well. They will really support you to have really varied experiences here or abroad if you want. One member of our cohorts in Tokyo, several of us are in Singapore, like Amelia. So it's there if you want that. But if that's not the right thing for your personal circumstances, or for other reasons, they're also very supportive of you staying locally and trying other rotations locally.
Amazing. And I assume that you, having moved from the US to Australia, that was already such a big shift, and you're probably ready to stay at home and chill out of it and not worry about...
Australia is my international
rotation.
This is
your international rotation, yes.
And exactly.
Amelia, you mentioned that you're applying the law of the Cayman Islands and you're working with, you know, solicitors from all these different jurisdictions. Does applying the law of these different jurisdictions, does this require further education, like these international rotations in general? Is there an extra qualification you need to get, or how does White and Case support you in this big transition?
Yeah, I think you'll find with transactional states, as long as you're qualified in one sort of common law country, a lot of the knowledge and the skills are transferable. I think it could be slightly different for, say, you know, if you're in arbitration, or I'd say tax is a more specialized one where sometimes you would need to do more study, like get a master's, etc. But yeah, when you kind of get into the corporate law space, you'll notice that oftentimes you would know enough if you've qualified in one place, at least to kind of have the base to then go find the answers or go approach the right people. So I think at White and Case, there are situations where they would maybe assist you in, you know, further qualifications. Let's say I think there's an associate who's moved from Melbourne to Singapore recently, and he's looking to get US qualified quite soon. So they're pretty supportive of that and helping him through the process. I assume at the more senior levels, a lot of people who want to pursue a master's, they would probably, you know, get on board with that as well. But I can't speak to it fully. And yeah, just in general, I think when you were working with your team and you've got that broad cross-border experience, they kind of guide you to where you need to for the right answers. So in the case of my work with the Cayman law stuff, like it is more like corporate Cayman law registrations. You don't necessarily need to be qualified in that place to know how to do it, but at least you can go and find the right people who will tell you and help you out in that regard.
Nice. Okay, it sounds like we're getting a lot of support from all sides with White and Case. I think just to sort of moving towards wrapping up, I would love some like general advice in terms of that transition from that uni to clerkship to like just post uni. Do you guys have any sort of advice, or like how was that transition for you guys?
I think for me, I would say try and take time off, like try have a break. Just because, you know, you go through 5-6 years of like intense study, you're really focused or hyper-focused on one goal. And once, you know, you've secured the opportunity that you want, you should just give yourself, you know, a bit of a breather, go, whether it's travel, go work somewhere else, just go do something like completely random. I think that's always been something I don't regret. So I got to travel a bit. I took, I think, 6 months off because I graduated mid-year. And then I felt really fresh and ready to start the coming year in February. And I think when you talk to a lot of lawyers who are a bit more experienced as well, when they think back on their time, they're always like, yeah, those were the best, few months or year, wherever, however long it was, where they really just got to decompress because, you know, you have your whole life to work and pursue your career. So it's important to focus on the other things you're doing as well in your life as well.
How about you, Brew?
I love Amelia's advice. I think take the time to rest when you can. That's really, really good advice. I think also just like quite cheesy, but be really, really patient and gentle with yourself. It is a big transition from study to working full time. It's a big adjustment. Doesn't matter how much support is around you. It's a big change. Trust how resilient you are. If you've gone through law school, you have incredible strength. You've studied for a gazillion exams, you've been at the library late at night crying, you made it through. You will also, make it through your first year of work, your first 6 months of work. It's not easy from the beginning. It's not easy. It's always a huge shift and a huge change, especially if you're someone like me and you struggle with change. It's a lot to take in. And just be really, really patient with yourself. Like, realize you're doing this maybe for the first time. It will take time and you will get there and keep going. Just like you did like in your studies, like by the time you've got into a job, you've done so well. You've gone through so many years of study and you're ready for this and you're able to do this. But I think just trust yourself and know that it will take some time to transition.
Yeah, but you mentioned being patient with yourself and that this is a really big transition. Is there anything moving into the grad roles that really surprised you guys, that maybe you wish you would have expected at that point and that maybe took a bit of time to adjust to?
I think the main thing that surprised me was, I'll say one good thing and one maybe not so positive thing. So the good thing was how close you'd get to your cohort. So we got really lucky in that, there's about seven of us and a few of us hadn't met each other before, all these sort of things, but we were able to gel really well. And, we're going to be not only colleagues, but friends for life. So I think that's one really big positive you'll get out of this experience, and kind of similar to the clerkship stuff. Like, you could start as a grad and hate it. That's totally normal and totally okay. And you can move on from corporate law. But at least, you'll have made, really good friends out of it and have like had that time with these people. So I think that's one thing that surprised me. Like, I think you go in like focusing on like, okay, I'm going to do a really good job at this. I'm going to focus on my career. But there's so many other side benefits, I think, to just starting full-time work. And then a not so good thing, I think, is obviously everyone talks about hours and managing your time. And obviously those are skills you'd hope you had learned in uni. I did not either, so it's okay. But I think it becomes more present once you're in a full-time job. Unfortunately in law, there will be nights where you do have to work a bit later and you have to work out your work-life balance. But I think what I learned over time is that communication is key. Like, these seniors or partners have all been through it before as well. And, they want to make everyone's, time be as like precious as possible. So learning how to just not be afraid to have those talks, have those boundaries, that's a good skill to start thinking about and learning.
Do you have anything to add to that, Brew?
Amelia said it perfectly. I think that was really, really well said. Your cohort, lean on your cohort, support each other. Like, we've been so lucky. We have such a great group. But I think you will always have that. You'll find really, really good people at your level or the level directly above you, and they're there for you. So yeah, trust them, be open with them.
That's actually so wholesome. I guess the main thing that like was coming up to mind when you were talking, Amelia, was like, so like, how does it compare like law school and actually working in law? Because I think a lot of, I've heard very conflicting things. Some people are like, oh, it's just as stressful. Some people are like, ditch everything you learned in law school, start from scratch. So I just want to know, what are your guys' thoughts on that?
I think I found in a more practical setting, it is quite different. The type of law you maybe will see in your day-to-day won't be like the problem questions you see in law school sometimes. But in the end, I think they do build you up soft skills wise. And, the way you like communicate with others, the way you think about, the law of your day and how you go about managing your time, like all these sort of like little skills, I should say. I think those are the main things that I took away from law school. I'd say like legal research 1 and 2 are actually really, really good, like really worth your time. those, you know, that dark computer lab was actually a pretty useful thing. So yeah, I think it's gray area for me. There's some things where I'm like, okay, wow, this is really useful. Other things are pretty different, I think, once you're full on, you know, in that setting of being in a law firm.
Personally, if it's ever any comfort to kind of like get through the degree and get to the other side, I find working to be much, much more fun and better than law school, personally. I don't miss exams at all. I don't miss writing essays at all. When you're working on, I think, a task for a team, it feels really different, I think, than studying solo. I feel like a lot, even though I studied for all of my law exams with friends, a lot of times studying and exam taking and assignment writing feels really solitary. But work is incredibly social. Like you do have time working independently, but you're spending a lot of time collaborating with other people. And it's a really, really different feeling to study. So I think there's kind of, if you're listening to this before an exam season or listening to this before assignment season, it's worth persevering, because I think work is really, really fun in a lot of ways compared to study.
And just going off of that, Brew, the fact that, you know, work's a lot more collaborative, and Amelia, you mentioned that the facts you'll come across are not like your everyday problem scenario. Having gone through that transition, do you find that your career goals have changed quite a bit since you started to work as a grad?
I think for me, I wouldn't say I'm the most stereotypical law school student with like a goal in mind and a lot of ambition to climb a corporate ladder or anything like that. So for me, that stayed the same. But more generally, I think I thought, okay, what can I gain holistically out of this grad program? And so for me, the things like the international exposure, meeting people from all walks of life, just building my more general legal and technical skills, that's been the things I focused on the most. And maybe this is comforting, I'm not sure, or maybe I need to think deeper about what I want to do. But I hope, yeah, it's comforting that, you know, you can be in corporate law and not know what you want to do at the end of it. Like I'm hoping at the end of 18 months, I'll have a clearer picture. But you know what, I'm fine also just like vibing it out and trying my best. And yeah, we'll see what happens.
How about you, Brew? I know you've got through a lot of career changes.
No, I'm pretty similar. Like I don't have really like one set plan. But I think it's a lot clearer to see, okay, what is life like as a lawyer once you start? Like there's only so much you can listen to the idea of it. Like once you start, you have a clear idea of, okay, this is what my life could look like in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years. And you're surrounded by people who are that 1 year, 5 year, 10 year ahead of you. And you can kind of talk to them like, how did you make decisions about your career? What other firms have you been at? What other kinds of work have you done, legal or otherwise? And you have this like incredible resource around you of all these people who have been where you are and are very willing to support you if you're willing to ask.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for joining us. You've offered a lot of really interesting advice, especially I think for a lot of young students who really have no idea what's going to happen after law school. So thank you so much for joining us. Did you have anything else you wanted to add? Or last parting words to the cohort?
I think Brew's really good at these sort of encouraging, inspiring words. So I'll let her take that on. But yeah. Thank you for having us, and it's been really nice being on the podcast.
Now Amelia's put me on.
All right, Brew, put no me on pressure. The spot.
I'll close with a funny story. It's not parting words of advice. In our induction, Amelia and I were in Melbourne, as she said, for our induction, and we had a flight home together, and she grabbed some pho from Rolled, and she was like, do you want me to grab you anything? I was like, oh no, don't worry, it's fine, I'm good. And then she comes back with her food. I'm like, oh my god, that looks so good, I want some. And I was like, oh, we have time. Race to Rolled, grab my food, look up and realize our flight is literally like last call. Run back. Amelia's waiting on her own outside the flight, has like held up this flight. So my parting words of advice are, don't go buy food 5 minutes before your flight is about to go. But if you are going to do that, make sure you have a friend. We'll hold the point for you.
Wow.
No, it's been so lovely talking to you both. Thank you for having us. Thank you to everyone listening.
Thank you all so much for listening to the episode, and thank you to Brew and Amelia for letting us interview them, and to White & Case for sponsoring this episode. We hope that this has helped first to 30s in particular with knowing what to expect with the clerkship program and future grad roles.
If you are interested in applying for the White & Case Winter Clerkship, applications have just started since the 4th of March and they do go until the 7th of April 2024. We'd like to thank Surge for letting us use their studios, and follow Souls on all social media if you want to keep up to date with all things Footnotes. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll catch you guys next time.